This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are talking all about the 2018 Bourbon County Stout lineup from Goose Island. We have a fun little segment in the middle of this episode where we do a little roundtable, some hot takes of our opinions and thoughts of the beers right after drinking them. Let's do it. Let's jump into this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're in the studio after our double episode last week for everyone.
Yeah, I feel like we did 13 innings last week too.
know, right? We were at Alarmist. Yes. Then we did an episode here on Friday.
We had a lot to get off our chest, though.
I know.
Yeah.
And then we, in the middle of this episode coming up, we have a little pre-recorded thing we did at Goose Island. And now we're back here drinking Alarmist again.
It's all like starting to blend together these weeks, right? It's like the last, I swear, like the last 14 days kind of feel like one long week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm cool with it, though.
Yeah, definitely. No, yeah. It's a good time. So like I said, we're rolling here with some Alarmist beer. We have the Cherry Pie Hopper. It's a pie PA. So these were the cans I picked up last week when we recorded the episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, now they're a week old. Do they have dates on their cans?
No.
I think sometimes they do, but these don't. So, yeah, a New England style IPA. I would say no, but it's an ale brewed with cherry juice and graham crackers.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of reminiscent of a Creek, like without the barrel character, kind of, right?
Right.
So it's also essentially not as tart as some Creeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a nice little color though. Got a nice little mild burgundy hue on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pleasant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't try this one. I saw it in his cup when we were recording, but I didn't get to try it.
Mm-hmm. It's a sweet dessert in your glass. Like if you're looking for something to kind of maybe complement one of those like big stouts you're having or something like that, this could go with that or pair with that nicely. But it's pretty tasty. But yeah, you got to be in the mood for these beers. Like it's not a beer.
Yeah, because it's sweet cherry pie on the mm-hmm. nose, and then just kind of nice cherry flavor all the way through. Yeah, mm-hmm.
But it's perfect for what we're talking about on this episode because we just drank 8. Baker's chocolate beers.
Man, you know, they're so over at Fulton. No, they
were Clybourne.
They were made at Fulton. Mm-hmm. And we went to Clybourne and tried 2018 BCS, the whole lineup.
Right.
So all 8 of them.
This year they're doing 8 variants, the most they've ever done.
Yeah.
Most variants. I'm sure most volume as well, because some of these beers, like Reserve, are now going to be in other states besides just Kentucky and Illinois.
Yeah, they're talking like a little New York action, I think, right?
Philly, I believe, too. Like, basically wherever there's a brew pub.
Oh, that's right. All their pubs. Yeah, so Osaka, Japan, or wherever the fuck they went.
So they might dip in there. So look for that. That's kind of the way it made it sound, like Philly, New York, Chicago, Kentucky. I'm not sure where else. And like you said, I think there's one in China.
I forget that they're a global brand.
Yeah.
You totally forget that.
But yeah, our night started over at Goose Island Clybourne, and we sat down and they just poured them out. They gave them to us.
We got right to it. I think there was a little bit of a welcome. I won't say a pregame because you don't pregame for Bourbon County,
right?
There was a reception, the welcome reception time, right? Like a networking hour or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You could get another Goose Island beer. I had I want to say one hitter, but that's not it.
Oh, you didn't get like Next Coast or something?
I didn't get
You got something that I had never seen before.
Yeah.
It was a pale ale.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Hoppy pale ale.
Fuck. We should know the name of it.
I checked it. I looked at it. It's on our Instagram story.
Okay.
So it's over there.
A lot of people were going with Sophia Matilda because you get the elegant chalice with mm-hmm. Sophia Matilda.
But Nick rolled deep.
Man, I got the Stein. I went Oktoberfest. All right, so when I was growing up, man, they always had the Oktoberfest party at Goose Wrigley. because Goose Wrigley had a patio, mm-hmm. and this place never had a patio, so they always partied over there. And now, you know, they were renting Goose Wrigley, so I guess the Cubs owned it. They tore it down. So no Oktoberfest.
Right.
No Oktoberfest for like 3-4 years now. So I saw the Stein, and I'm like, you know what, man? I'm rolling this Oktoberfest. Mm-hmm. And people were giving me shit about it because, you know, you're Oktoberfesting in a Stein before a BCS tasting.
All right. I'm going to be over at Metro later today. I'm sure they're rocking the Steins over there. So I got to go Stein.
That's what I'm saying, man. If Stein's an option and it's the first week in October, come on, you're going Stein.
But Steining before 8 variants of really, Nick, all you could drink Bourbon County.
It was like, you know,
there was no limit set, and I think porch drinking Chicago beer was the only man enough to drink all of his. Pours.
He probably drank the one next to him too.
Yeah,
he was getting after it, man. He was having a good time, man. Yeah. So, all right. So to set the scene, what room were we in? It was the Carl Strauss room,
right?
And that's where they teach the Siebel classes. So they got 25 placemats set up for a preview of Bourbon County.
Mm-hmm. Few people, they bailed because of the Cubs game.
Yeah, I know. Liz Garibay, I think she was invited. She was saying that she had to go to the Cubs game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, do your thing. If you actually got tickets to do or die game, I guess you would go. Mm-hmm. But my team sucks, so I don't know what that feels like to be in the playoffs.
So while we were there, they presented all these, kind of talked through them all, and then afterwards, as we were kind of packing up and they were sort of kicking us out, it got quiet enough, and we sat down and recorded a little round table with, six of us?
Yeah, that was fun. So two of the porch drinking guys, Mike and then the other guy, right? So two porch drinking guys, Tom from Hop Review, who we've had on the show, and then Josh from the Kankakee Journal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then us.
So
we're gonna roll that into this episode right now. If you're watching the video, you probably just have a still shot of some Bourbon County bottles. That's what we'll put up there. So we'll let that play. It's about 20 minutes. So if you don't want to hear that or don't like how that sounds, skip about 20 minutes, and then it's back to Nick and I. But I think the round table there is a great discussion.
Yeah, I really liked how, you know, it's class act over there at Clybourne, man, because they rolled out the, what was it? They rolled out the Bourbon County the Bourbon County desserts.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a Bourbon County root beer float, man.
Oh, yeah, that float was ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's a triple chocolate float, and it's inspired by, it's got Black Dog Gelato. It's inspired by the 2018 prop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got chocolate everything, chocolate ice cream, chocolate sauce, chocolate, you know, chocolate whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
It's got it's chocolate all the way through. Dude, they were heavy on the chocolate this year, man.
They were, yeah.
Two of the variants had chocolate. And then also what I noticed is that they were saying, listen, man, we're really focused on, like, simplicity of really nailing like one or two ingredients in every beer. And in the past it wasn't like that. Like, you go look at Regal Rye, you know, Regal Rye's got like two different fucking cherries, you know, it's got sea salt, it's got, you know, it's got a lot of stuff going on, right? So it was cool.
Yeah. All right, so we'll dive into that here. All right, so we're over here at Goose Island Clybourne, and we just tasted all 8 of this year's Bourbon County Stouts.
The full Monty.
Right. And we got a crew with us.
Do you know what that means? Do you know what the full Monty means?
You're going to have to tell me.
I don't know.
Maybe
I'm
not right now.
I'm supposing it now.
It felt good. It felt good, so I went for it.
All right.
Should we set it up?
Yeah, we got a crew here.
Yeah, we got a crew here. There were 25, and now we've dwindled it down. We got Tom White from the Hop Review. We got Josh Riley from the Kankakee Journal. Hey, Mike Zoller from Porch Drinking. Hey, my man, tell me your name again, please, sir.
Eric Dirksen.
That's Eric, and Eric also from Porch Drinking.
From Porch Drinking? Are you with him?
Right. We roll too deep.
Everywhere. Okay, good.
Nice.
Good.
Because you can't trust me.
Well, so he's the one that got the exclusive invite to the first.
Yeah, what the fuck was that, man?
I don't know, guys.
We don't know either.
Emails because of you.
Is that right?
So I saw Goose people at the 312 block party, and I was like unusually aggressive.
I honestly, because of you, I walked into that to that rooftop, and I looked around. I was like, oh. Guys, I don't know what I did to deserve this, but...
This doesn't make me feel any better, Mike.
I'm sorry. All
right. Okay.
I love you all, guys.
Onward.
So I guess tonight was almost an overwhelming experience with 4 or 8 Bourbon Counties, more than we've ever had.
The most in years. Yeah. Like
maybe ever.
Since
they set a personal record.
Since 2012? 2013?
Yeah. So Nick, set us up. What was our...
rundown here?
Yeah, real quick, man. Bourbon County Wheat Wine, that's a new one. OG, BCS Reserve for the second year in a row. Midnight Orange, also a debut. Coffee Barley Wine, that's a new one. Prop, the return of vanilla, and the return of Bramble Rye. Mm-hmm. So an ode to the past with some innovative stuff like they always do.
Right, and this year's prop was a cocoa nib variant. So very chocolate heavy. It's different every year.
Different every year. Yeah, this was probably the most subdued of Definitely. The props, yeah. For sure. What's the hot take, guys? What jumped out at you the first time? Anybody jump in?
In terms of all the variants?
And in terms of everything, what's the first thing that jumped out at you tonight?
I thought for me the coffee barley wine, honestly. You get such a high level of coffee, but a sweetness. Almost like a sweet cold brew.
Okay.
Which I really liked from the coffee barley wine, and that was the most surprising to me.
Yeah, I love coffee barley wine, but for me, Midnight Orange is a nostalgia in a bottle. I grew up drinking or eating Terry's Chocolate Orange, and that is what that is. Like, it's crazy. I think that'll be the most polarizing, though. I mean, some people will love it, some people will hate it.
Do you think that the orange and the chocolate orange you're thinking of, do you think it has that richness of orange flavor? I mean, this tastes like rind. It had this acidic taste to it. Are you remembering the chocolate orange as this, like, complex orange character, or did it taste like an orange Tic Tac and chocolate at the same time?
I'm remembering my childhood.
I get it, man.
Magical
experience.
The last time I had one, which was...
you're 12 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and you're just like, this is a chocolate orange.
20 years right. I think you're right. I think this will be Northwoods from last year.
Yeah.
You will love it or you will hate it.
Right.
And it's going to be a 50-50 split.
And I hated Northwoods from last year.
So did I.
And I loved
Brad
this.
Really,
I
Brad loved really it. Liked
yeah.
it.
And there you go,
I
right?
thought I thought it had like a little like it taste. It kind of had a fortune cookie.
Not yes,
a fortune
cookie. That's what
like,
that's
or
that
like
taste.
A, like,
yeah.
a, like the Chinese, not the fortune cookie, but the bigger round cookie they give you. Like
the
almond
cookie.
Cookie.
Yes. It was the almond cookie. It was the almond extract.
Yeah.
And some people love that and some people hate it. And it's 50-50. And that's what I think people will see with Midnight Orange is you will love that citrusy, little light chocolate on the taste, and others will find it too citrusy, which I personally felt it was too citrusy.
So I've been in liquor stores that don't know anything what they're doing, especially in the Deep South, and you can still find Northwoods. On the shelf, it's for an astronomical price because the guy thinks he paid so much for it, second market, whatever, and he thinks that it's going to sell, but it's still there. Like I go right now and pay $65
he's
gonna
be
for a Northwoods.
He's going to be shocked when he gets eight bottles.
And I think, they're not getting all eight. They're not. I think he's going to sit on some Midnight Orange for a long time as well.
What
because
I love,
I don't
though,
think...
is it's more barrel forward than Northwoods was.
That's true.
Which it was this pastry stout, whereas this is, it's definitely a sweeter stout with the orange up front. However, it's very barrel forward, and I love and appreciate it.
And I think it has a more complex character to it than the blueberry and the almond from last year.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like I taste the rind. I feel like I taste this sourness, this acidity to it from the actual orange peel that we had. They passed around this year.
Like Tom was saying, man, it's the one out of all of them. It's the one that was most reminiscent of a dessert you've had before, and they brought a lot of joy, man. That was nice.
For me, Bramble Rye jumped out. It might have been the sorbet at the end that kind of complemented it so well, but the Bramble Rye was great. And Jared had a really good quote about some sort of god drinking this out of
nectar,
a goblet.
He's like, yo, if you were a king in the 10th century, this would be in your chalice.
Because it's very wine-like.
Yeah, it's very regal.
It's sweet, but I think the rye barrel at the end.
Just drink that one?
Yeah, we have a whole lineup here, a second pouring.
Full age. You guys. The rye barrel, though, gives a little spice at the end, which kind of balances it all out. I think it's really, it's sweet, it's fruity, but it's really good.
Yeah. Now we've seen Proprietors has been around for four or 5 years now, right? And we were talking about how it went from coconut water to vanilla water to
banana bread.
To banana bread.
It's banana bread on glass.
And now it's coming full circle back to the basics.
Okay.
Just a nice dense.
Yeah, that's my favorite. From this year is the Proprietors. Yeah. So I think it showcases chocolate in a way that I don't think every other time I had chocolate in a beer, it tastes I think of Wells double chocolate. And this is a milk chocolate bar. This is a a Wonka bar. Yeah. You know what I mean? And this, the prop this year for the chocolate has a mix of dark chocolate, a little mix of the sweetness, and a milk chocolate. I think it has this beautiful, well-rounded barrel character.
And that, I think the one that could be the most, I guess, hyped or looked forward to from beer people is the vanilla.
Yeah.
That's the return of vanilla.
And we kind of skipped over this one in our initial thoughts, but I think it's extremely hyped, and people are looking forward to it for good reason, right?
Yeah, vanilla rye, yeah.
And regular vanilla, original vanilla.
The original vanilla rye is holy grail for a lot of people.
Yes.
You know, there's Neapolitan, there's cherry rye. There's vanilla for a lot of people. For me,
that first time I had vanilla rye, I thought I had had something special. I thought I had had something that, like, I don't know if that's when rye's that occasion.
I think people will smell it, and you'll get that marshmallowiness, that vanilla-ness that's really, really strong. Some will expect the heat from the rye from 2014, but you're not going to get that in 2018. Yeah. It's a lot sweeter, which I think is actually going to be appealing more to the masses this year. And I think people who want 2014 rye will be disappointed because it's not gonna like heat. But I personally, I really liked it. I thought it smells amazing. It's one of the best smelling bourbon kinds I've ever had, smelled at least. And in terms of taste, I like it. There's a little barrel in there. There's the marshmallow vanilla, but I think if people want that like more balanced out heat, you're not gonna find it this year as if you found it from vanilla rye.
And then this year they opened all of the vanilla beans before they've just kind of tossed them in,
no barrel vanilla,
right?
It didn't hit the barrel, it was just
it was all whirlpool.
And I think this added a different mouthfeel than all the other bourbon counties.
But that's what people are, if you look at the vanilla beers to come out in the last few months, that's what they're doing. They're opening up Microphone, the Villanoise.
Yeah.
Same exact concept. You open up the vanilla bean and let it sit in there because you want that richer vanilla flavor. You don't want the heat from the barrel as much.
Okay.
And so I think that's what they're kind of going for.
Now the second time through it, after having kind of walked away from everything, I like it a little bit more.
It's interesting, man. Like,
but the nose is incredible.
The impression on vanilla is kind of like how the impression on coffee. Like, I've always knocked Big Hugs, right, because it didn't have that fresh ground coffee pop that this coffee barley wine has, but it's more of an integrated flavor that complements everything else, and that's what this vanilla is doing versus just being like vanilla out front.
And I think if people are thinking vanilla rye and just hit you with that flavor and a little heat, it's gonna be a little bit different, but I think this will still be a fan favorite this year is vanilla.
And then Nick, you got called out on this coffee barley wine, coffee Bourbon County, as one, you love barley wines. And then
this is your favorite beer, yeah.
And then you were missing
I'm not agreeing with this.
Let me Bourbon clear. Counties.
Yeah, I was kind of sad to see Coffee Stout go, but I understood, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, if you're going to dismiss Coffee Stout and get rid of it completely, if you roll the coffee into a barley wine, you know, it's still a win.
And they shared a story from FOBAB, was it
2013,
where they accidentally hooked up the keg to the ranch.
Yeah. That coffee, by the way, is so good.
I do remember this happening. Was it in that room that was offset? That was like the cider room.
FOBAB is so weird, right?
But also Goose Island was there. Was that back
the one
year?
I remember, it was in the main room. I mean, I have pictures of it. It was like it was this huge Randall. I mean, it was crazy, and I don't think they had it listed on the menu. Like it was just like written in chalk, maybe next to it, coffee added.
Coffee added.
Something like that. So, no, it's great, man. I this is the one for me that when I first sipped it, I was a little disappointed. Like, it's got that big nose and that little thin, but like as it grew on me, it's got that little bit of sweetness on the back end. Like Mike was saying, it's. This one is the one that, from first sip to last sip, is the one that grew on me the most, for sure. So, I think this will be, like, the beer nerd's favorite to me.
Oh, all
right. I think so.
I think people at first will be like, barley wine, I want the stout. But you'll try it, and it's coffee, it's a little sweet. It's not so much typical of a normal barley wine, because I think the coffee flavor is so well incorporated into it. But it was the biggest surprise for me is in terms of what I liked a lot, and I love this one.
And I think if you wanted to sell So I still see barley wine sitting on shelves at Benny's local liquor stores. And so I think there's not something that's drawing people to the barley wine, but this one, it definitely will. I think people will go out, they'll buy one bottle of it, you'll keep sampling it, because I think you want to see this complexity in it, this new way that the coffee is integrated into it. I think it really...
Do you think that was itself. To... You said you still see it sitting. Was it a way to like kind of get people excited for barley wines, I guess?
Yeah, definitely punch it up. Yeah.
It's a barley wine.
That's a really good point. It's like people year after year, like barley wine's always like the, you know what? It's in the allotment. I'll take it. Yeah. But this year I think it's like, oh, it's coffee barley wine. There's no coffee Bourbon County.
Yeah.
I want the barley wine.
I thought that might have happened when last year when they did it to where they weren't putting it in old stout barrels. They were putting it in fresh bourbon barrels.
Yeah.
And it did have a different character to it, but I still wasn't quite excited to go in for $15, you know, after the big release, you know. Sure. So like, am I looking for like, oh, let me bring a barley wine to a party, you know, when people associate quality with, you know, the OG. So I think this one will actually give people a reason to go out and find it.
Yeah. So. And to be frank, man, I'm always excited to cruise a barley wine solo. Right, like I'm less
because you're a fancy boy. Yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah. I'm less interested in cruising like a Bourbon County by myself. But,
okay,
a barley wine, I was always like, hey, I've had a long day. I'm gonna cruise this barley wine by myself, and now we've got this coffee variant on the barley wine, and I'm a little excited about that.
What did they say the ABV was up?
I think they were saying 15.4 across the board.
All of these are higher ABV this year, so you're except cruising these barley wines this year might
himself,
be a problem.
Because he doesn't want to go to work tomorrow.
I am off tomorrow.
Is this the one that said was lower, or was it
Bramble's the lowest? Bramble's the lowest, like 12 something.
Because it has a lot of fruit.
Yeah, that's session. Yeah, that's
just
the session,
buckets
right?
of fruit.
Okay, that's the session, the Bramble.
So does the wheat wine make up for that barley wine? Kind of just, eh.
In my opinion, they're kind of even. I feel like the wheat wine wasn't like super complex, because I don't know what wheat wines are supposed to taste like. I mean, I had a whole bunch of them, but I thought it was like it was good.
Boo Goop from McKellar and Floyd's. That's the last. We want to think
of it. One more time. Just Boo Goop. Just say it all the way through.
Boo Goop.
Boo Goop. Okay.
Boo Goop.
Boo Goop. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Of course. Yeah, I remember the Boo Goop. Yeah, that's right.
Why is he fucking with me?
We've all had it. Yeah. Right.
But I think this wheat wine, you have different flavors. It's going to break up the... If you're doing a tasting of all these, it's going to give you a little bit different of a palate with vanilla and toffee and caramel.
Okay.
It's tasting really good right now.
Yeah.
And even 3 weeks ago, it was a little hot. Now it's because
he can say it. He's the only man at the table.
Because
he can say this.
I was so honored on August 12th, whatever it was. But I think in 4 weeks from now, it's going to be really well balanced.
Okay.
And I think people are going to be intrigued by the wheat wine, which is the first time for Bourbon County.
I think a lot of people's first experience to a wheat wine in general.
Probably. But it's a really well done wheat wine where you're going to get a lot of really good flavors that's not
Josh,
just
Josh, you
like
didn't have
wheat.
Boo Goop?
I didn't have the Boo Goop. No, I've had like had Pilgrim's Dole, I think, from New Holland.
Look at that. That's a good one. I like that.
And I was telling Tom I had one from Big Sky at FOBAB maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but
I
remember seeing wheat wine. I said, I'll try it. Yeah.
What was cool tonight is that, you know, like Fulton Street and Clybourne have always been two sides of the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Fulton guys are like, yo, this is the first time we've done this. And then the Clybourne guys are like, oh, yeah, we won a silver in wheat wine.
Yeah, so it came in
like
bag.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool, man, for Cherry Run. Yeah.
Yeah.
They won a silver at FOBAB for their wheat wine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fun. The brand, it's expanded beyond stout. That's always fun. So.
And then our two, I guess, strange ones are the Prop and the Midnight Orange. Which someone asked the question, like, why wasn't Midnight Orange just Prop? Which is a very good question, right? Because
that's the more adventurous one, I think. You could have done just a Bourbon County chocolate or whatever, and then done the, you know, the sort of exotic one.
My thought on Prop is that I think for all of us, it's one of the top ones, right? Like, up there for sure.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to try this for the first time after drinking like the chili one and the pepper one, and the banana one last year. They're gonna be a little like almost
not, I mean, disappointing might be a little harsh, but I think they're going to love the beer, but it's going to be like, why doesn't this have some crazy adjunct?
Yeah, okay, it's got chocolate, but like, does it have wasabi in it?
It smells like straight chocolate.
For a lot of us and for a lot of other people, it's going to be like, it's just going to be like a super chocolatey version of Bourbon County, but for a lot of people who maybe are like, they heard about this like legend of a banana and pepper proprietors, and then they're first getting their hands on it.
This is not going to be that. Yeah. I can imagine in reviews somebody's going to say something like, "Oh, I could taste some heat in it," or something.
Yeah,
because they're anticipating.
But you know what?
Something more exotic.
Take this prop and mix it with any of the variants this year.
Oh, that'd be nice.
And you got something different.
You got a little tuxedo. You
can do whatever. I took prop and vanilla.
Yeah.
And you got a really nice. You kind of cut through that chalkiness of the chocolate, but you get the sweetness of the vanilla. And became a really nice, really good 2019 prop, right? Take vanilla chocolate.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you could
do that. You're saying that now, and we're gonna come here 2019, and that's what's gonna prop.
Mike Solar made the 2019 prop.
Yeah, he did.
But also, you can take it with the midnight orange, and you can almost get like a little creamsicle.
Yeah.
Like an orange chocolate, you could take it with the bramble rye, a chocolate covered raspberry. Yeah. You could take it. You could pair it with almost anything. But for me, it's almost too chocolatey, too chalky on the taste. The smell is amazing. Mm. I think this year, you smell any of these, they smell amazing.
Yeah.
The taste is a little bit different.
Okay.
And I think the prop is just, it needs a little bit more balanced out in terms of the flavor for me.
They rode coconut, and then they rode heat for like much of prop's existence.
Yep.
So I'm kind of excited that it's like kind of come back to basics with this chocolate thing. Yeah.
And then our original and reserve kind of, I guess, I round out or... right?
Like OG was like fudge forward followed by booze, and then for me the reserve was like the exact opposite, like booze, and then they had a
but
nice
this
fudge
is the most it. I think balanced original. I would always think of there was like some heat to it, even when it was only 13%. I got bourbon.
Okay.
And this year
this one has a bourbon character to it.
But I feel like it was a little more, maybe that chocolate fudge kind of comes through a little more, and it feels balanced more so, less burn, less heat to it.
I think it was like a year old Bourbon County from last year or something. You know, like if you were to drink 2017 now, I feel like it mellowed out on the heat a little bit. I don't know. That's my thought.
If you liked Reserve 2017, I think you'll like Reserve 2018.
Okay.
I think it's pretty similar, whereas like the bourbon takes over. It's that unique barrel, and it's that single barrel that
last year was Knob Creek.
Knob Creek.
What's this year?
Is Elijah Craig.
Elijah Craig.
But those barrels won Bourbon of the Year.
Elijah Craig.
Whether or not you know Bourbon of the Year awards, I don't know. But like, I think you get a really good flavor. And I think the original this year has nice bourbon notes.
Yeah.
But there's a little bit underlying of chocolate and leather and whatnot of flavors. But the reserve stands out to me is probably my, of the eight, the reserve is my favorite.
Okay.
Wow. So if you had to buy one, if you could only buy one, if you could only have one, reserve would be it?
For me, it's reserve. But that I don't want to discredit the other seven, but for me the reserve
no,
is
no no we need you to discredit the other seven. That's what we're doing.
I would say the reserve.
If you could buy one, it would be reserve.
Reserve for me.
I want a number one and a number eight.
Number one, that's a good way to close this out. If you had to buy one and then maybe a second one, what are your two?
It would be reserve, and then it would be vanilla for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, as your number two or your number eight?
My number two.
Oh, number two.
Reserve and then vanilla. One and two.
What's your eight? Well, hold on. All right, let's redefine. So we're going to do a number one and a number eight.
One and eight. One I would buy would be reserve.
Yeah.
Okay.
The last one I would buy would be midnight orange.
Okay.
Yeah.
Woo.
All right.
Am I drinking by myself or with a friend?
By yourself.
By yourself.
All right.
You're all alone, Saturday night.
As we
static
all are.
On TV.
As we all are.
So I'm going to do prop is number one, and then vanilla is eight for me.
Okay.
Vanilla's off. Yeah.
Oh, man. If I'm drinking by myself, I'm going to drink coffee barley wine.
Hey.
And then vanilla.
That's a hot take.
Vanilla's my eight, yeah.
Fuck. If I'm drinking solo, I'm going Midnight Orange Wine.
I'll split it with you, man. That was my.
I'm telling you, yeah, man. We're going Midnight Orange Wine. I'm probably going. I'm going Wheat Wine 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Bramble.
Bramble one.
Okay. And I'm skipping vanilla.
Yeah.
I think what's amazing is that we all just went around the table here and we all had a different number one.
Yeah.
I don't think
and
any
we
of
all
them were
had a different number eight, right? Yeah. Like that's what's so amazing to me is that people are gonna go out here and get all eight and there's gonna be so many different opinions. I think last year there was more consensus around top and worst.
Yeah.
But this year, I mean, you just saw like some people said their best was my least favorite. And that's amazing to me. Like there's so many different types of beers this year.
Nobody's favorite was vanilla, though.
No.
That's close
for me. That's number two for me. I love the flavor. I love the smell. For me, that's number two. But
I'm learning to appreciate what like raw vanilla is.
Because
I've had some beers in like Prairie specifically. Yeah. I've had some vanilla in their beers, and I was like, I don't know if this is confection or sugar. I don't know what the fuck this is. But it sounds like that's just how vanilla tastes in its raw state. So I'm starting to learn. I'm starting to appreciate vanilla more through this.
Cool. Well, thanks, guys. That was, I think it was thanks to Goose Island. Thanks to you guys for chatting with us about
thanks
these. And man, a lot of fun. Eight variants. That's a lot of money to throw down on Black Friday.
That's the start saving.
We don't even know what the beers are going to cost this year. We haven't even.
They gotta all be in that $20 to $30 range, right?
Well, this one last year was more, right? Wasn't Reserve more?
I think Reserve was 30.
Vanilla. I'm gonna say this. I think vanilla will be the most expensive this year.
I think so too. They're saying vanilla
more than prop because the Madagascar vanilla is so expensive. I think that will. This might push $30 a bottle this year.
This is AB. They can keep the cost down.
But will they?
Will they?
They could, but you'll still pay whatever.
Episode 2 available Black Friday.
Forest Drinking, Kankakee Journal, The Hop Review.
Yeah.
Thank
Cheers.
You, man.
Thanks,
this was
guys.
Cool.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, thanks for having us.
So that was our first opinions, our initial, our hot take, as we were saying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now that this is all simmered a little bit, you've sat with it, you came off of your 15%. Buzz, your sugar high with the
dude, we were
the
feeling
desserts,
good at that
the, like
joke,
you said,
man.
The stout shakes. Like, it was fun recording that. They were snapping pictures of us too. I don't know if they post any pictures of us recording that, but it was a good time.
It was such a fun night, man. I never go. I go for what, Stout Fest, and then for Belgian Fest, and that's really it. You know, so.
So, but do your picks still stand? Do you remember what you picked?
I know the first reaction out of all eight was, God damn, this coffee barley wine is good. And then also, like, I was really surprised at how well done the Midnight Orange was.
Okay.
Yeah, because for me, the Midnight Orange nailed a chocolate orange dessert. Because, you know, they've done orange and beers before. They did an Impassant, remember that, from the Fulton Woods series? So it wasn't barrel-aged, but it was modeled after a man had like an old fashioned, I think.
Oh right, yeah.
Yeah, which was like basically like rye whiskey with some orange in it.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the first two that jumped out at me. I think like a day later, I'm really starting to appreciate prop a little bit more because on paper it sounds kind of boring. You know, it's just it's essentially a chocolate BCS.
Chocolate BCS.
Yeah, but you know, there's a density there where it's like, you know, it's both earthy and milky chocolate. You know what I mean? So. I'm that one is starting to grow on me too, man. What were you? What a day later? How are you feeling?
I still am thinking about that Bramble Rye. I think, especially now that we're drinking this Pie Hopper. That's Bramble. This is Cherry. But I get the same like thoughts in my head, like that rich, thick. I don't know, just juiciness of it all.
Yeah, it's bizarre how you're getting the contrast of like, you know, a big barrel-aged stout with this fresh juice injection, right? But it's complimentary still, even though it's fresh juice in a barrel-aged stout. It's somehow oddly complimentary. I don't know how to explain it.
Right, and I believe that, like you said, the barley wine, now that I've stepped back from a little bit, I think it maybe moves up in my ranking a little bit. Mm-hmm. I still would put Reserve second, but barley wine kind of maybe comes up a little above prop for me now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's see. Maya, if I can remember all eight off the top of my head, I would go Bramble, Reserve, then barley wine, prop, midnight, reserve.
And there's a wheat wine.
Wheat wine.
Yeah.
And then my last one would be vanilla. I would put vanilla still dead last. I love the aroma on it, as a lot of people said, but something with the vanilla beans coming out added a strange texture for me. That's going to be interesting to see how it sits in the bottles. It's almost like an oil kind of feeling. So I wonder if it separates at all or something happens. But maybe not. Just initial thoughts on it. That's just personally. Maybe it was too hyped. Maybe I expected too much from vanilla after previous years. And I was like, vanilla's going to be it's back.
Vanilla. Yeah. I'm kind of with you. I think, Marshmallow Hangi from Floyd's. I think that's still the top of the food chain as far as like, because that's just a vanilla beer. They even know it's named Marshmallow Hangi. That's, for me, that's still the best vanilla experience I've had this year. And they were saying during the tasting that, you know, this vanilla, man, if you put it in for a couple days, it takes on like traditional vanilla marshmallow notes. You just keep it a little longer, and then it becomes a little more fruited, right? And then I think it gets a little earthier if you sit on even longer than that. But all I was picking up on was like the fruity characteristics in the vanilla.
Okay, yeah.
And it was cool, but it wasn't of the eight. The vanilla wasn't my favorite. My favorite experience, sensory experience, just like drinking experience, was probably barley wine and prop for sure.
Okay.
And then I was like, but then I think the question we posed to the table is like, if you could only buy one, which one would you buy?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, shit, I like prop, I like barley wine. But if I could only buy one, you know, this orange is kind of, you know, I had a half a pour of it. This orange is calling me. Like, you know, like that's the
so
one.
So what would be that. Your, what's your eight order?
Man, that's tough. And that bramble was strong too. And you know, I like the bramble because there wasn't like, you know, in the past they would do these things and they were saying they would put them in the barrel. And this year they put them all in this whirlpool.
They're Dorothy.
Dorothy. They kept calling it Dorothy. It's like a system of like six stainless steel tanks. And instead of like letting it sit in the barrel, they put it in this whirlpool. And the whirlpool's got like little mesh nets in it. So it's spinning. And then they sit it overnight on those. But I guess that's easier for them. It's easier for them to manage off flavors, right? Mm-hmm. They can taste it every half hour and say, okay, we're starting to get too many tannins. It's starting to become too bitter. Let's pull it out, that kind of thing. Where that process worked well is with Bramble. Because in the past, Bramble was like, all right, listen, we're jamming this barrel with fruit, and it is what it is, and you should let it calm down and check it out in 2 years.
We have no control over it. It's really just fruit in a barrel. Like we hope for the best. I don't think that's a saying, fruit in a barrel. It's fish in a barrel, but like same idea, right?
Yeah. But this Bramble, man, that Bramble was nice, man. Mm-hmm. I think you were saying like in the chaos of it all, you're like, well, the first one I finished was Bramble. So Bramble's my favorite. I'm like, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. And like I said, I think on our little recording, the sorbet we had with it was fantastic. So it could have been that pairing of it.
Yeah.
But for me, it was the only one that I completely finished because I liked that flavor and the taste so much.
Yeah, Bramble's interesting. I don't know, man. I think I've had so many coffee beers lately. Even like I've had so many coffee beers that I was just like, man, that's cool, right? But it wasn't like a rock and roll coffee infusion to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that coffee was layered in there, I thought it was great, man. I think I might go coffee barley. That's weird. I might go coffee barley wine number one. I don't know.
Okay, so what's your order? Let's hear it. Come on.
All right, I'm going to go
on the spot.
Coffee barley wine.
Yeah.
It's a tie, man. Bramble and Midnight Orange, I think, is a tie. Reserve still needs to grow on me. For me, it was so close to OG. Even after it was all said and done, I went back to OG and Reserve. And I was still kind of like, I need to give that some time.
But they should be. They should be really close. The Reserve just has a little more of that bourbon heat that maybe you like from a Bourbon County.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Because this year's OG was really full on with like the fudgy chocolate notes, mm-hmm. and then like it wasn't as boozy as I was expecting.
Right.
Yeah, but
15% too.
Yeah, it was dangerous for 15. You know, OG's dangerous for 15. So yeah, I put reserve over OG. Okay. So where are we? You asked me a question. I'm trying to figure this out, man.
You got coffee.
Can we start from the bottom and then go up?
Okay, that's fine. All
right, cool. So I put wheat wine at 8. Right.
8. Okay. Vanilla?
Yeah, vanilla 7.
7, okay. Yeah.
Then I would go...
What's over, reserve or OG?
You put OG and then put reserve above OG.
Okay, so
because it's boozier.
5 OG. Yeah. No, 6 OG.
5 reserve.
5 reserve.
Yeah. Then it gets tricky. I'm going to go prop 4.
Mm-hmm. And then your 2 and 3 are Midnight and Bramble.
Yeah.
And then coffee, barley wine at the top.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, 2 months out until everyone can buy them. There is Prop Day coming up.
There's a lottery, mm-hmm. and you can try them all if you win the lottery. I think $30 gives you the right to buy 2 bottles of Prop and a bottle of vanilla.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The rumor is that the vanilla is going to be a little steep because apparently it's all Madagascar, and it's an island off, like, Western Africa, and apparently they had a lot of storms. So vanilla is expensive as fuck, basically. So it's going to cost.
Right, but you threw out $70. I don't think $70.
That's what I heard. I don't know. I hope it's not $70.
That's ridiculous.
Because if I go to Prop Day, I don't want to spend $70 on a bottle of vanilla. One bottle of mm-hmm. vanilla? I don't want to do that.
Maybe Goose shouldn't have been charging $3 for beers at Block Party. They should have went 4 and brought the price of vanilla down.
Man. Siegel and both Siegel and President Todd Ashman kind of referred to this year as the greatest year ever for the brand, for Bourbon County.
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy, like, we're blowing off wheat wine, right? But I kind of enjoy the idea that, hey, we need to grow the brand outside of just stouts, mm-hmm. the Bourbon County brand. And the way you do that is, hey, we take this wheat wine, and then, like, it's a lot less complex than the barley wine was, right? In fact, yeah. It uses, like, only 2 malts, where barley wine uses, like, 6 different malts, all different colors of caramel, right? Oh, but then take that and then put it in these barrels that they really like so they can show you the barrel. This is basically just like a booze showcase.
For sure.
A barrel showcase, not a booze showcase.
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
So, I mean, I think the concept of that mm-hmm. is cool. And that beer is fine.
And so now that they're all packaged, if you're in Chicago, like, keep your eye out. They're going to be showcasing these throughout the next 2 months. We know Fobab will have them all. And that's before the official release. I will have some at Prop Day.
Because Fobab's like the week before, right?
Week before the release. So you get to try them all, especially at 8. And you're looking to spend some money if you're going in there and buying multiple cases. So that's that's a lot of money to drop. So you might want to try these and get kind of a sense on where you want your money to go.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think they do other events leading up that are small little tastings at like the Clybourne pub just to make sure people are going there, over at Fulton as well. There's other variants that we have hinted at, like the with the Irish, the
Shamrock Stout, they're calling it
Shamrock Stout, which is Bourbon County with mint.
Yeah,
that isn't part of this, but we said might get canned or something like that down the line. We didn't ask about that, but there's stuff like that. There's other things that they may do. The Neapolitan has been rumored of making a comeback at some point.
You know, the President Todd didn't turn it down because I'm like, so I've had, or, you know, we've had Bourbon County. He said he had horchata. He tasted the horchata.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And then, you know, we've had Neapolitan's been at, like, Great Taste.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think all those TTB labels you saw where you ended up not seeing, like, half of them as part of the official release, I kind of think those beers exist, you know?
Yeah, they may not have been. Perhaps they didn't meet their standards.
Right.
Right? Or in some of the cases, like what we mentioned on the last week or the other week, where it's just like, yeah, try it in another month. Try it in another month. Like there's versions of Bourbon County and some of the sisters and sister variants that kind of happen in that way where it's just like, it's not ready. It's not ready. It's not right. It's not where we want it.
At Block Party, we commented on it, how the there's one that was aged for five years with like 55 pounds of blackberries in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it's not right, it's not right. I think they should be proud of the collection of beers that they put out. Mm-hmm. I thought they were all pretty good. And it's kind of like, it's kind of like pulling hairs. You know, the most interesting thing, not the most, but it was noticeable, was how these adjuncts really changed the body of BCS.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of more than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Like, I love the density of prop. I love the body on prop, just rich, full, dark chocolate. It was really good. And then you go to Midnight Orange or even Vanilla, and those fruit notes change the mouthfeel completely for me.
Right.
You know, so that was interesting. The way that, I tell you, man, that Bramble's a smooth moother, man.
I know.
It is smooth, man. Ah, it's so many different ones that had so many different good attributes, man. It's hard to just be like, well, this one was clearly my favorite, you know.
So we'll hope to have another episode like we did last year where we sit down with Jarrett, run through them again, or even someone else at Goose that can kind of, who wants to talk about these again. And I think hearing them and letting everyone else out there hear them who weren't at this event, you know, it's nice to hear it from the mouth of the brewer and people who are like concepting and coming up with these beers every year.
Yeah, man. I did have some follow-up questions, man. A couple more notes about what the varieties were. On the reserve that Elijah Craig, so Bourbon County is 4-year-old Heaven Hill barrels, right? And some Buffalo Trace barrels, mm-hmm. but 4 years overall. On reserve, it's a 12-year cask. And that source whiskey, Elijah Craig, was the Whiskey of the Year last year, according to Whiskey Advocate. It was 2017 Whiskey of the Year. For the barley wine, they actually got, they went to the family where it's Bourbon is the varietal on the coffee they used. Oh, but the World Barista Champion got his beans from the same family that year. That was pretty interesting.
There is, I believe, a video of that coming out.
It's coming out.
That is
dives into
in
it.
The Grit and Grain series that I know Jared mentioned they were down there. For that, Ken was there as well. He mentioned Ken Hunemeter's name, and I believe they shot some stuff for that.
I'd like to see that.
So that should probably be coming out soon. I don't know. I'm sure there's other videos they want to showcase like that, and maybe even, I don't know, Bramble or something like that, you know? Just keep telling these stories because it's interesting.
For sure. The lab techs actually picked the recipe for Midnight Orange. It sounds like Midnight Orange is like how Prop is the Chicago variety, and then a Midnight Orange is like the national variant, essentially, mm-hmm. right? Oh, yeah, but they were saying how they had a choice between like Spanish orange peel and California orange peel. They went with the Navelina, the Spanish orange, and then two different types of African chocolate from some shop in Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah, so... They get very granular on their descriptions and process, and they really get a kick out of like they partner with people so that they can create relationships. He's like, the only way you get the kind of barrels we get is to have a real relationship, and the only way you get the kind of coffees we get is to do the same thing. So going down and hanging out and seeing how everything works.
Relationships and deep pockets.
And you know, a little cash don't hurt.
A lot of those relationships they've built for 20 plus years now. So
I'm kind of wondering if I kind of want to go side by side like this. I understand the infusion process and Dorothy and the Whirlpool, the Whirlpool for adjuncts essentially. I'd like to try, you know, the old world method of, hey, let's just stuff it all in a barrel. Can we get one barrel of that and go side by side with, you know, that version versus the Dorothy version? I'd like to do that.
Is that next year the classic, like the OG or the reserve becomes a classic or a throwback Bourbon County, kind of something like that. Because where do you go next year? 10? 15 variants? Or do you bring it back in and do more and focus?
Yeah. And they get a lot of credit, man, because, you know, if you go to a Three Floyds party and they whip out a bunch of variants of Dark Lord, and it's not always... You kind of wish they would have just focused on five, right?
Well, a lot of places that do variants do it like maybe like they would for Phobab or Night of Living Ales. Stuff it in a barrel, see what happens. It's a one-off kind of thing. It's a party like Dark Lord Day where it's like once it's gone, it's gone. It's got to be packaged, sent around the globe, and it's a little more to it than just like it's an event. Let's stuff this in the barrel.
Yeah. How about the... Brothers and Intelligentsia are next door to each other. And how about the brewer who was a coffee roaster?
Yeah.
He was a coffee roaster for 18 years at Intelligentsia. He comes over to Goose, and then when they go source beans for Coffee Barley Wine, the guy that used to work at Intelligentsia, who's a brewer there, and I was like, dude, you need to go hang out with this family. You know, it's interesting how it all plays out.
All right, we'll end it there with our talk on Bourbon County and making you all jealous that can't get it for 2 months or try it for a week. So
we forget about how spoiled we are, man.
Right.
That was a party, man. We party hard at fucking Clyburn. It was nice.
So that was the only thing that Nick and I made it to between recording on Friday and recording here on Wednesday now. Like, realistically, yeah, we took it easy.
Yeah.
What about this weekend? What do people have coming up? What do we got on the calendar?
Right on, man. It's the return of Tap This up at Fishman's. Fishman's.
I remember these.
They were great, man. A lot of them were, like, Chicago-centric. All the brewers would show up. They're getting their feet wet with Barrel-Aged offerings from four breweries. Microphone, Transient, Pipeworks, and Brickstone.
Okay.
That's at 4 p.m. on Thursday, October 4th.
Nice.
Yeah. And then this Saturday is the fourth annual Beer and Bacon Classic in Soldier Field.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you making it out to that?
I'm probably going to stay at home, Brad. That's probably what I'm going to do.
What?
But, I mean, I don't know. Who knows, man?
I like Soldier
Field. But can you go on the field on this one? Because the Bears, you know.
Probably not.
Bears are playing.
You probably can't.
Yeah. Soldier Field's cool when you can go on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And the parties that are in the concourse, they're cool, too.
Yeah.
Ain't as cool as going on the field, though.
We know our buddies over at Bulldog Beard, they're going to be there because they mentioned it. But, yeah, that's cool. So, Saturday, beer and bacon.
Yeah.
Cool. Then we'll get out of here with a little bit of news.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing the Goose Island talks, there's news that they are bringing back the beers...
We were talking
about the national beers and brewing it here.
I think we had a conversation about how it sucks that you don't really see Honker's Ale around town really on draft, you know,
right?
Because it's such a legacy beer. And then one of the guys was saying one of the 25 who was invited to the party was saying, "Oh no, they're bringing it all back." And that was news. I'm curious about this.
So are they bring? I have a lot more questions, and I think I threw out some thoughts about this with him drunkenly, but
no.
They're not brewing all the national beers here. Like, that's impossible, right? First off, maybe they brew some of it here that's for the Chicago market.
That would be kind of confusing, right? But then also, like, part of the reason why there's so much BCS to be had, and even Sophie for that matter. It's because they moved out all the big volume beers.
Right. So are they expanding the brewery to make room to brew this?
I think maybe. Because
they're not going to brew 312 for the entire globe.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a global brand, so it's impossible to do that here, like you're saying. But then maybe what he meant was, like, you know, since they tore out some of the seats in Clybourn to make room for a bigger brew house, maybe Clybourn is picking up the original recipes again? I don't know.
I'm going to brew some of it like that. Because they're not brewing. I would not think they're brewing nationally. They may brew just some of it for the Chicago market, so they can, like, a dry hop 312. Oh, that's made here.
Yeah.
And maybe it's made elsewhere now, but it was originally, like, made here and for the Chicago market. So to have 312 brewed fresh here is kind of fun.
That would be cool. I mean, I would drink it. I think, I think Honker's Ale, man. Honker's Ale, specifically out of the IPA and 312, Honker's Ale is something I'd like to see made here. I want to see it at the Beat Kitchen, you know. So if I show up early, I can just have a pint.
Okay.
You know, I'd like to see that. Because, you know.
So that's a story we need more info on.
It did come up last night. I remember hearing that, like, man, that's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds cool, but how they going to do that, man?
Right.
How they going to do that and they got spots everywhere like this now? And wasn't that the whole point of moving all those beers out so you could make more BCS?
Right, and the lineup that they have at the Fulton Tap Room, and they're going to push Next Coast hard next year.
Like, yeah, that's a staff favorite, that Next Coast IPA.
Right, so.
And I think it's going to cans,
too. What, you're
going to
be like, we're going to do Goose IPA now. And people in Chicago be like, so? Like, I want that Next Coast. Where's that OMG?
It's confusing. What impact would you have on a Chicago consumer making it here? Like, unless you go out your way to explain that it was made here. I mean, like, would people, I don't, what am I trying to say?
I don't think people care that some of the Goose Island stuff is made here and some of it's not. I don't think they know. They know somewhere like Alarmists is made here because that's the only place they are. But once you get into the big names, like even Lagunitas, I don't think most people even know there's a brewery here who are drinking beer.
That's true.
Unless you're like into beer. You're just like, oh, it's good, it's everywhere, and it's reasonably priced.
Yeah. And people people who would drink a locally produced 312 or IPA, those people that would drink it don't care where it was made.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I don't think so, yeah. But we'll try to find out more on that. Or if anyone from Goose Island is listening, let us know too.
Right on.
What else is in the news?
Last bit of news on Goose. They got a magazine out, which is kind of cool. Ingrain. It's a quarterly magazine. It's free. It's like a lifestyle magazine, man.
So Goose Island is producing this magazine.
It's a Goose Island production. All the stories are written by brewers. And, you know.
And then the ads are all Goose Island. I just see the cover. I just see the picture on the
look
back.
At that. Yeah. I think everybody's like bringing all their interest to the table, man.
Yeah, Mamakues, I'm sure, got their food stuff in there.
Their stories on Czech Republic. They're telling you what aprons to wear, what cocktails to make, you know, how to build your own fucking bar cart. It's actually kind of cool, man. All kinds of food recipes, food and cocktail recipes. And stories about other regions. I filled out my little paperwork for the free one. I'm going to mail that in and get that
free.
Oh,
you get a free subscription?
Yeah, it's a free subscription. Hmm. It's nice, man. There's something I can appreciate. Kind of like albums, right? You know, like, I love the big format of the photos in an album when I buy it, right? I like the liner notes, you know. I like the physical copy of this book, so that's cool.
Yes.
Oh, so they got that. Ram Schomburg is closing after 19 years.
The one right by the IKEA?
Oh, there is an IKEA in Schomburg.
Is that that one? It's like it's in the parking lot area? I think so.
It's got to be. That's the one where the head brewer from Moore, the frenzy for his beers actually started at that Ram Schomburg.
Oh.
It's essentially a lot of the same beers, and he just took them to Moore. Yeah, but he started there. Yeah, they're a chain.
Yeah.
But the Schomburg location is closing.
I think the guy that runs, now I'm forgetting, the brewery in D.C., he used to be a brewer here. I'm like blanking on his name.
But it was a Ram in D.C.?
Yeah. No, he was here for a long time. I think he was at Ram, and then when Rock Bottom picked him up, and then he opened his own Union Craft. He runs Union Craft in D.C. So.
Yeah. The good folks at Microphone are throwing Microphobab. It's a microphone pre-phobab party on November 14th.
Okay. Are we invited?
They're inviting all their friends out, man.
Are we friends?
I don't know. I don't know. All their brewer friends.
Okay.
So it'll be a spotlight of a lot of beers you might see that weekend at Phobab. Yeah.
If you're hardcore enough to go drink at a pre-phobab barrel age party and then get your ass up and go to Phobab.
Yeah. Phobab is such a monster production for the beers that people know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I remember last year, in between sessions. All right, so Moore won Best in Show last year. So here it is, an hour before the PM session starts, and I counted it, there's 60 fucking people in line, and the place ain't even open yet.
Yeah. How'd they get in? They snuck in?
All volunteers, you know. But I'm like, the beers that all the cool beers, man, the line for these beers is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this might not be a bad option. Chicago Ale Fest, the winter edition. Tickets went on sale this week. Yeah, there's a pre-code that'll get you $15 off for a ticket.
What's the pre-code?
Pre-code is beer.
Beer.
Yeah, that's promo code beer. It's going to be at the Lacuna Lofts. That's down in
Bridgeport area.
Pilsen
area. Bridgeport, Pilsen, yeah.
February 2nd.
There was a Hoptacular one year there, right?
Very cool Hoptacular.
Yeah,
there.
With Pinewood Derbies.
There was a Pinewood Derby. They had all these cool little rooms. Man, they had like this strange, like, you know, ballerinas and cheerleaders and shit.
Yeah, it was weird. That's a fun space, but that might have been the weirdest beer Hoptacular.
It was strange, man.
I think there's a Hopcast out there from that.
I'm like, man, this is a wacky space. I saw Run the Jewels perform at Lacuna Lost because it's an actual, like, you know, it's like condos.
Yeah.
It's like condos. And then, like, the little, you know, the meeting area for the condo association is where they throw these parties. It's bizarre, man. It's cool, though. It's very cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, and we should talk about Far and Away.
Yeah. That's 2 weeks.
It's in 2 weeks. So it's actually next weekend, right? It's the 13th.
Yeah, not this weekend, next week.
Oh, yeah. So this is Half Acre. Half Acre is inviting brewers that don't distribute here mostly to come and party at Millennium Park.
Okay.
That's part of a bigger party. It's like a music fest that weekend anyway. And then this is part of that creative gathering.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and Beer Temple's throwing a pre-party for that.
I can't make it. I can't go there. I'm not allowed.
You can't go to Beer Temple. That's the theme here. Like, Beer Temple is the closest.
If I go to Beer Temple, it needs to be like on a random Tuesday at like 2 o'clock kind of thing. Like, yeah, nothing's happening. It's just me.
Like, you don't even check in.
Yeah. Okay, so there'll be a pre-party at Far and Away at Beer Temple. You can still get tickets for Far and Away.
Yeah, Far and Away is 2 sessions on the Saturday, the 13th.
And I think we're going to roll up the early session.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Not waiting until the p.m., man. We're getting after the noon.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Yeah. All right. So this episode probably comes in at about an hour with a little interstitial there. So thank you, everyone, for listening, checking out this whole episode. Whew, we've had a lot to say over the last 2 weeks.
I feel good about it. I don't feel like we dragged on.
No.
No.
Well, maybe someone else is like, hurry up.
Shut the hell up already.
So Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass. Instagram, we're blowing that up all the time. There's a little big Instagram story. You can watch Nick blend multiple bourbon counties in his like stein.
Mother's milk right there.
So check that out. Give us a follow there as well. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. The links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version as well. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.